Meeting to order and state that the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and Express Times and posted on the bulletin board of the Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Could we please stand and salute the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we proceed, Counselor, if you would swear in Mr. Music. There you go.
I, John Music, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and to the governments established in the United States and in this state, under the authority of the people, and that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of the office of Councilman for the Borough of Washington. According to the best of my ability, so help me God. Congratulations.
You gotta sign that, sir.
You're
gonna have to sign that. Okay. Thank you. That's okay. Thank you. Roll call, please. Okay, up on the agenda is we have a presentation from the Warren County Community College, Dr. Will Austin, the president, and Dr. Phil Infante.
Yes, sir.
Trustee chair.
All right, well, thank you all very much. We're not going to ask you for a single thing, so you can relax. We're just going to tell you about what's going on at the college. I promise we won't ask for anything at the end. I just want to introduce the chair of our board and the chair of all community colleges, trustees in the state of New Jersey, Dr. Phil Infante, and our foundation director, Samir Elbasan. So we're just going to tell you a couple things that are going on over at the college. You have a piece of paper in front of you. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to say we've done a couple of unique things that have had some really positive impacts for our residents and our community members. One, we're one of the few colleges in the country to have completely abolished remediation. We mainstream every single student that comes in. You don't have to be tested. You never have to go into a remedial class. The states of Florida and California passed laws so that would happen, but our trustees did it a little bit differently. In 2014, all of them, including, you know, people with MDs from Johns Hopkins and lawyers, all took the remedial placement test. Everyone had an advanced degree, and everyone failed. And would have had to go in remedial education. I've given it to hundreds of people since 1995, and to date, only two people who have college degrees have ever passed the remediation test. This is just a gimmick that the testing business gave to people, and no one ever graduated. So we got rid of it, and within 2 years, our graduation rates doubled. So the national average for community colleges and graduation rates is 21% because a lot of people transfer. At Warren, we enjoy the highest in the state. We're at 45%, more than double the national average. And this is part of what we have done to make that happen. I would also, I'm going to skip around a little bit, and I left some notes here for Dr. Lafonte. He's going to pick up. One of the other things we think, one of the fun things is I've managed to not get fired for so long that I am the second highest or longest serving community college president in the state, which means now it's my turn to go in front of the state legislature and beg. So it's the president of Rutgers, It's the president of NJIT and a bunch of other people in the legislature all asked them the same question. How much more expensive is it going to be to go to college next year than it was this year? And each one of them explained why it was going to be more expensive, and then it got to me, and I said, I really don't want to answer this question, and they said, why? And I said, because I can tell you that it will cost less to go to Warren County Community College this fall than it did in the fall of 2003 when I became president. And the way we were able to make it more affordable for people is we signed an agreement that now several other community colleges in New Jersey and across the country have signed with Cengage Unlimited. Cengage is the largest publishing company in the world. By December, they'll merge with McGraw-Hill. Some of you have probably either bought a book from them or knew them. So it'll be both companies. It'll be called McGraw-Hill come January. But our contract won't go away. And our contract that we have for multiple years now basically says that every student who comes to Warren County Community College will pay $140, but we got an even better deal, $135 for every single one of their books. Not per book, that's for everything, for the entire year. The average cost for books per semester for students is about $800, but Warren students will only pay $135 because of this agreement. Well, I'm happy to say that the building annex has been opened, and we are currently using that facility to help students, and we have a new lab to help them graduate. And then I will end with this, number eight. I usually don't talk about number eight, but we are in the midst of a major landscape outdoor project, which is why I look like a wet dog, because at about 6 o'clock I was out there with the landscaper today, so you know, I have the mud to prove it, and I'm soaking wet. So I'm going to end now. We'll answer any questions when we're done, but I'll let Dr. Linfante. And I left you.
So I guess you know he's the president of the college, so he goes out in the rain, in the mud, and I was inside keeping dry. So, you know. Again, thank you very much for allowing us this few minutes to talk about Warren County Community College. We're very proud of the college in the county. There's 19, just to give you a little background, since my role is expanded now by being the chair of Warren County, I've also been appointed for a 3-year term as chair of all the trustees in the state. Let me just give you an idea about how big and influential the community college system is just in the state. There's 19 community colleges. We service 350,000 students a year in the state of New Jersey. We give out 25,000 degrees in the state of New Jersey. And do you know that 50% of all students who receive the bachelor's degree in New Jersey have community college credits on them? You know the influence that we have? We give students an opportunity that no one else would. And our students succeed. And that's important. And I just wanted to give you that little tidbit about the state to realize how important we are on the state end. Now let's get back to Warren County Community College. We have an unbelievable program called dual enrollment with all the high schools in the county. Over 2,000 students, high school students, are taking college courses. If you looked at the number of credits that they take and the money that the residents save, because the biggest thing to tell you is that those students do not pay any tuition. If you're a junior or senior in any of the high schools in Warren County and you're taking part in our dual enrollment program, you don't pay any money. You don't pay tuition. You take those 2,000 students and you multiply the number of credits they have, that if they came to Warren, and I guess Warren is really you losing that money, we would make up, if they went to a public institution, it would be almost $1,500,000 in tuition. $1.5 million in tuition. If they went to a private school, these students would be paying about $7, $8, $9 million, depending on where they went, in tuition. So we're saving the residents whose children are going to the high schools that much money. And thanks to the freeholders who understood the importance of this, kicked in a few extra bucks to Warren County in order, again, for the program to cost nothing to any of the high school students. That's unbelievable. One of the other things that we need to mention is that We were one of the first colleges to go down to 60 credits for all our programs. You know, a lot of the programs, they're 66, 69 credits. You go to a four-year school, they're 123, 126, 129. It's almost like they throw in those few extra courses. But we know that the statute says 60 credits, and that's what we do. We have 60 credits, and that's what we want them to do. And one of the last things before I finish up is that we realize that there's a lot of other reasons why students don't succeed other than their ability or their talent. We know that there's hunger insecurity. They have to take care of their kids. They have part-time jobs. Some of them are even homeless. So what the Board of Trustees did, and thanks to the hard work of a few faculty members, we started what we call Golden Eagle Nest Program, where we actually give out to students who are in need, and there's no questions asked. They come to some faculty, and they say, I'm having a difficult time with eating, or because we know that's a big problem, we give them food cards to either ShopRite or King's or Walmart or Target, where they have supermarkets where they can go and buy some food without questions asked. Or we give them vouchers for the cafeteria because we know how difficult it is for them. In fact, all the board members contributed personally to the fund so that we know that students could eat. Now, here's the important thing. You know that every, whether it's a government agency and especially a school system, we're evaluated and accredited by a group. Warren County Community College and all the colleges in the state of New Jersey and this area, this state between Maryland and Pennsylvania, New Jersey and New York and Puerto Rico, are all evaluated by Middle States Evaluation. A lot of the high schools are evaluated by them. With all the things we've done, we've cut out remediation, we've cut our credits to 60, we've done so many things within the district. Middle States came in last year, and we had absolutely zero recommendations. That's unheard of. It's unheard of for a college to have zero recommendations. What does that mean? Is that there's not a governing body telling us we have to improve in certain areas. It's what Dr. Austin and the staff feel is best now to improve. So in even looking at all the drastic steps that we took, we had zero recommendations. I think we were only one of two colleges last year that could say that. So again, we thank you for all the support that you've given us. You know, we're right around the corner from you guys, so it's so important to be close to the communities that we're in. Dr. Austin and I and Samir are on the Warren County municipal tour. We've hit about 12 or 13 municipalities and intend to do the rest before the end of the year. So we thank you. We're open for any questions that you have, and we appreciate your constant support. So.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah, I have one. Recently, I heard that the enrollment is declining. Is that true?
Community college enrollment has declined nationally. Whenever the economy gets really robust, then people don't come back to community college. So you have to kind of follow it this way. It hasn't really declined if you look at it across the course of as long as I've been president for the last 16, 17 years. But what happened is in 2009, when we had the worst recession ever,
right,
basically about 800 people showed up that fall. Because once they become unemployed, they come back for retraining. Now, what we did that was different than every other college in the state of New Jersey is we hired no new employees at that point. I said to the board, I said, this is an anomaly. It's not going to last. We'll somehow manage with the staff that we have, and whatever excess revenue we have, we'll bank that away for the library or other educational things. So whereas you hear these kinds of things and you see other colleges, my wife works at Raritan, so I'll pick on them. They're $1 million in the hole this year. They have a negative $1 million. I won't tell you how well we're doing because I don't want it on the record, but we're in a totally different kind of scenario than everybody else. And that basically came from kind of understanding in the history of New Jersey since they started counting this in 1976. There's a giant kind of blip every time there's a recession. Mm-hmm. So here's the kind of answer. So this is my quick answer. I can get enrollment up anytime you're willing to go into a recession.
Okay.
But otherwise, I'm rooting for the good, and we'll just make everything work by just managing everything properly.
And one quick thing you might need to know, they just did a study of in New Jersey of all second graders to see what it's going to be like 10 years from now. That they looked at all second, and you can get it for the county, you can get it for the whole state or the county. If you looked at second graders today compared to 5 years ago, the total second graders in the state is down 25%, which means 10 years from now, when they're ready, they're your traditional high school students, there's going to be 25% less students in each grade compared to 5, 6, 7 years ago, which means the school population is going down. Warren County was no different than the state average. It was between 20 and 25% of second graders a decrease over the last 5 years. That's not a good sign, to tell you the truth. So,
we're the right size for the amount of students we have right
yeah.
now. But I guess one of the things I would say, and it's a great question, because I'll show you the kind of things I think about. And this isn't to take one side on this issue or another, but when the minimum wage goes to $15 an hour, do people choose to go to college at that point? That's really what I'm saying. How do you convince people to come back to college if they feel to better themselves? That's going to be the question. I think if I'm worried about anything, it's not where enrollment is now. It's where enrollment will be in 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The dual program that you were talking about, what's the criteria for a high school student to get into that?
Yeah, well, so what we try to do is work with every single one of the high schools, and each high school is a little bit, it's individually different. So the group that Dr. Lamponte is chairing now, the New Jersey Council of County Colleges, actually gave us a grant this last year so we could give classes in Warren Hills. And again, that was free to the residents. Then we have our regular classes. And what we try to do is work with the school district. So we'll try to credential anything and at various different levels. So usually people think, oh, that must be just the AP students. That's just not what we do. We kind of go in, we've mashed up a lot of the curriculums with the high school. So we have students that probably all go all the way down to general. And then some of our districts where we know students were suffering, they changed it so our old remedial curriculum is what they're doing. And we're able to then give that. So at least if they don't come to us, they go to another school. Like they say, all right, I want to go to Lehigh or something, they won't have to take the placement test there. Because we know that's a rigged system, so we want to try to get them out of that too. So I would say dual enrollment students range from people who need assistance in math and English all the way to, you know, the valedictorian of every school.
And we actually had a Phillipsburg student last year who received their associate's degree a couple of weeks before they got their high school diploma. So they actually achieved enough credits to actually get their associate's degree finished at the same time with their high school diploma. That's unbelievable.
But if you do know a parent, tell them to check whether their children took dual enrollment. Sometimes the parents don't know, the kids know, but the parents don't know, because they're not communicated to. And I can tell you the thing that bothers me the most is how many people don't take the credits. They never come to the college to claim their credits. So they're going on somewhere else and they're not coming to get the free credit. And I understand. I think I understand why, because when I say it's absolutely free, we don't even charge it for the transcript, no one would believe that. So they probably don't believe it's true. They're waiting for me to sell them something when they come in the door. But let everybody know, it's 100% free, funded by the county. They don't even have to pay for the transcript. All they have to do is come in, because we're legally required to get them to sign something so we can send the school they're going to their transcript.
And the Viper program is still going?
Yeah.
Still going good?
The Viper program is going good. Our veteran students are doing well. And again, that's kind of a variant. Right now, it's lower. The number of veteran students is lower than it's been in what I can remember. We know a lot of the students have already gone through and transferred on. But as we see surges in kind of recruitment and people in the military, when they get out, they come back. So that's all there for all our veterans whenever they want to take part in.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, at this point, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Your floor.
I like what you did there.
I like the paint. Yeah, it's great. Just to give everybody the update for what happened in May. So the police dispatch incidents in May were 1,545. The total criminal investigations for the township were 56, 55 for the borough, 9 for Oxford. Criminal arrests, 25 in the township, 16 in the borough, 4 in Oxford. Motor vehicle crashes, 20 in the township, 13 in the borough, 5 in Oxford. Motor vehicle summons complaints were 489. Summonses issued were 135 in the township, 127 in the borough, 28 in Oxford. Crimes to others' properties were 51. Drugs and alcohol, 73. Domestic family issues, 81. Alarm, 68. Fire EMS, 200. And there were 545 calls that didn't really fit any of those kind of categories. Mr. Hall had reached out to me with some other issues, and those were taken care of. Some vehicles that were sitting for a while, and they were moved.
Okay. Is there anything that you need from us, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a quick question. I had some reports from my neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and just people, even at the Green Fest this past weekend, that people had their lawn furniture stolen, or their grills like moved, and then some taken, but some left, but like in a different spot. And I was wondering if that had been reported.
Some things were, some things weren't. So you have to tell your neighbors that if anything like that happens, report it. We need to know about it. Because, I mean, if it's just moved, and they're like, that means somebody was walking through your property or somebody was jerking around, so.
Okay. But you haven't heard, something like a purge and people just removing people's?
No.
Okay, all right.
People get bored at night.
Yeah, confirms. Question. Yes.
When they were doing the Broad Street review instructions, they had 57 was shut down at Lincoln.
Yeah.
Could you speak up? No, I can't hear you, Keith. I'm sorry.
I was talking to you. when 57 was shut down the other morning,
right?
When they were doing the construction at Broad Street, is that state police officers?
Yeah.
Or is that us?
That was state.
Okay.
They had the contract. They were going right down to old towns. They decided that they were going to do it. So that was them. Yeah.
Well, I leave at like 3:30 to go to work, and when I came out Lincoln,
you saw the all black.
My question was, is they didn't get out and assist the trucks that were coming through. There was a trailer trying to make a left on Lincoln, and it took him like 5 minutes to finally get turned. Well, once he got on Lincoln, he had no idea where he was going. I thought it would just be nice if they would at least get out for a truck and tell them which way would be the best way to get around that, since the road was shut down. But I felt bad for the guy because I know what he's going through.
It wasn't us.
No, that's why I'm asking. Anybody have anything else with the lieutenant? Yeah, I know he's got to get out of here. Lieutenant, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, at this point, I'll open up the meeting to the audience for remarks, statements, comments, petitions, questions, or whatever it is that we need to speak about. I do ask that you please, when you approach, your name and address for the record.
Hope everyone's doing all right tonight. My name is Justin Flynn. I live at 117 Railroad Ave. I've had conversations, email traffic, phone calls with several of you. First and foremost, I want to thank Mr. Hall for reaching out to me. He's been very prompt in email response, giving me phone calls in the past over the issue I'm about to bring. Mayor Higgins stopped by to conduct business in a proper way, and I greatly respect that and appreciate it. You can tell me no, just be blunt about it. My argument here is not really with the town council. It is more so with the rec department. I'm very concerned about everything that's going on in the Railroad Ave rec park, whatever they're calling it these days. I know that they don't have budgeted for a rec department or for a rec center for their soccer fields, their basketball fields, their hiking trails, dog park. is not budgeted for, yet they are making substantial claims that they're putting a rec center up there and that soccer fields will be going in there and calling volunteers. They're chopping down everything. That is one of the last larger areas of wooded areas for the wildlife in this town. When I have approached them, the responses are extremely unprofessional. From name calling to telling residents you can leave this town, move out of this town if you don't like it. Not caring about personal investment in property. 115 Railroad Ave. It is now borough-owned property. I used to lease it. It was extremely overgrown. I'm sure many can attest to the fact that I purchased machines to clear out all the overgrowth. I got the trees flourishing in there again. I got grass growing, and I mowed it every week. I expressed a lot of interest in purchasing that so that I didn't have to lease it anymore, so that it could be mine, in my name. It was foreclosed on. I was not allowed to bid or settle back taxes. Now borough-owned. The rec department feels that that is their parking lot. I didn't purchase a home next to a parking lot. Purchased it next to an open orchard. And I made sure that it flourished. There's a lot of wildlife back in that Railroad Ave rec park. There's a family of bears that doesn't bother too many people. It stays back there. They've been, since it's been cleared out, they brush hogged everything down to the ground. They've cut down over a dozen trees in over a foot diameter to clear it out. There's probably a 30 to 40 foot incline from one side of the property to the other in which they would have to bring fill in to make any sort of field. They're unresponsive and they won't listen to anything we have to say, the people who live there. I was asked to have...
Could you go into the email that you sent about the meetings?
Yes, absolutely. So I sent an email last week, I believe it was last week, to Mr. Hall. I CC'd the clerk as well as Mayor Higgins. And May 23rd, that meeting was postponed. There were people trying to come to it. June 5th, they posted a meeting for their postponement. It was canceled. June 12th, they had a meeting posted. And this is all while they are telling us, come voice your grievances via their Facebook page. Come voice your grievances. Tell us. And many people want to join their meetings. They're closing them to the public, canceling them, delaying them without notice. They had a meeting for the 12th that they invited everybody to, and that meeting was canceled on the 11th. That meeting was canceled on the 11th, and they had another closed-door meeting on the 13th, which we were not invited to. It was closed to the public. When all this stuff is happening, you need to let the public into your meetings.
The 13th of June?
Yes. It was a special meeting, not open to public.
Today is the 18th. That's last Thursday.
Yeah, they didn't have it. The 12th is canceled. And when we were in the Shade Tree Commission, they told us the next opportunity of a public meeting was the 27th.
And they had one on the 13th.
And they had one on the 13th.
That was labeled a special meeting.
On the 13th?
Yes.
Last Thursday.
Yeah, instead of the 12th, which I guess the middle school graduation or one of the graduations was that evening, so they canceled the meeting. We want our voices heard. We want
the graduation.
Yeah.
So I met with Mr. Allen last week, I believe it was, and listened to what he had to say, and he's pretty much saying the same thing tonight that he said then. And I know that I had a discussion with Matt about the emails that went back and forth, and you want to fill everybody in from what's going on?
So, from the standpoint of what's happened on the property, or?
Yeah, both.
How
I mean, just so everybody's clear, I think when I left there, I said I couldn't promise you anything.
Yes, sir.
They're an autonomous, you know, group. We can have some input as to what's going on there, but we'll let Matt explain.
So recreation, I mean, you know, they're a commission, they have their own budget, you know, they spend their own funds. The borough makes a contribution every year to those funds. They also have a trust fund that they draw out. But as we discussed, projects of the magnitude that they're talking about, excuse me, they don't have the funds. I mean, you can look at our budgets, you know, and you can see what's in there. You can look at their budget. Everything is all public record. They had advised me that they were going to clear some trails. You know, I didn't have a problem with that. You know, the borough has owned that property for the last 15 years. You know, there's no issue on that part, you know, or with access to the property. You know, we are also, we acquired that property with Green Acres Fund. We are in the process of acquiring what's most people refer to as the Baker Tract in the southwest part of town, which will be, you know, at least 85 acres, you know, the same way. You know, and eventually, you know, there'll be some passive recreation opportunities, you know, trail clearing and so forth. But that's it. You know, anything else that's going on that property, you know, has been, you know, recreation volunteers. I mean, what we were told is that they were going to go in. I mean, there's trash on the property. People have dumped there over the years. They removed a bunch of trash. That's fine. You know, and they were also clearing some trails. That's fine. Now, as far as what exactly has been done in there, I'm not sure. So
chainsaw 6:30 on a Sunday morning.
Yes. They've got over, like I said, over a dozen trees cut down. It's completely leveled in the middle. And it's one thing if they are putting up a rec center. If they had the funds to do it, that's one thing. Let's save the tax money.
I want to be clear that they don't, I mean, to put up a quote-unquote rec center, I mean, you're talking a project of at least a couple $1 million. I mean, the entire borough budget is, for 2019 is $8.3 million. We don't have that kind of money.
My big thing is there's no reason that if this isn't imminent that they should be in there clearing it out. The one last place that most people in this town believe is the John C. Bodine Wildlife Sanctuary, but that is the 1 acre in the township that they want to force all the wildlife into. I live across the street, you know, and I've always thought it was John C. Bodine Wildlife Sanctuary. My neighbors think it's the John C. Bodine Wildlife Sanctuary, but it's only an acre of that Green Acres plot. I mean, it's open space.
So it's
the bedding area.
That's
yeah.
Not part of the, we own a 15-acre parcel.
So. It's the one acre that's township.
That's township.
Yeah.
Right.
That borders that property.
Bird sanctuary. Or
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 The sign says wildlife sanctuary, and there's a lot of wildlife back there. And if they're not doing something with it immediately, there's no reason to level everything in it. I mean, you're just they're forcing that wildlife, the bears that are in there, into people's yards. You know, I'm sure there's other people who are going to comment the same thing about that.
As part of our discussion, there are mega plans that I don't think anybody sitting here knows of those plans. Parking lot. That apple orchard becoming a parking lot? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know what I mean? That is borough property. It's not recreation property, and nobody from the Recreation Commission has approached the council to use that as a parking lot. And with the drainage that was put in there, I don't know how that would...
Non-developable to begin with.
With that being said, I mean, you know, we had the conversation about 20-year-old plans. You know, the requirements for 20 years ago are not the requirements that are going to be necessary now.
Mm-hmm.
So those plans, you know, might be the basis for what they want to do, but I'm sure that they would have to go back to an engineer and legal to find out if, in fact, that can be done. But I think I think the original intention was to use that passively as a walking trail to start out with.
That was what was communicated.
And that's what we all heard.
And that's what we all heard.
So I guess, can I just ask, has anybody communicated with the people who have been doing the clearing that they should stop until something is approved?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all I want to know.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing if people are having approval.
That's happened for a number of reasons. One, because I want them to, you know, stop what they're doing so that we can get in there and evaluate what's going on. The other reason is, quite honestly, we've got more important things. I mean, you know, we have the pool to take care of.
Right.
You know, the recreation director is actually out on medical leave.
Mm-hmm.
So myself, along with a seasonal employee, are pretty much keeping the pool running.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really our main focus right now. We don't have the resources, the wherewithal to, you know, build trails or, you know, whatever.
Here?
If they want to do walking trails, we go to Point Mountain all the time. Walking trails are made by our feet. I truly believe if you go into nature, you take nothing but memories and you leave nothing but footprints. If you want a walking trail, let our feet make the trail. Don't disturb the bear. Don't disturb the other wildlife that's there. Because then, yes, every day on the Washington Community Forum, you see, oh, bear got into my trash can. What are we going to do? Stop taking away their land. They don't have any place to go.
I think we are conflating a few different issues here. The bear's getting the trash can because bears like
right.
the trash.
My name is Donna Cooper, by the way. I live at 28 Fisher Avenue. And part of their plans are a full-size basketball court. Mr. Allman knows a architect who knows a developer who may be willing to do it as long as the developer gets to put his name on the field.
Okay, so as we said from the very beginning, that's going to cost
us money. Let me put it this way. I wish that were true.
Exactly. But, you know, as I said, Mr. Flood is saying, if there are no imminent plans, why are they going through
we were told that they were going to be in there clearing trails. So we've determined that something beyond that has happened, so I've already told them to stop. And, you know, we're going to evaluate what to do further with that property.
And listen, just so you're aware, before anything else moves forward, I think what we should do is inform you, the residents of that area, when this is going to be a topic of discussion,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that there are meetings that
mm-hmm.
you can attend and
well,
make sure
we
that
did,
you
and I'm sorry to interrupt you, we did ask about that, and we were told it was posted on the Facebook page, which not everyone is a member of the Washington Borough Recreational Department Facebook page.
What is posted there?
Their activities, their cleanups, when they're going to be there, when their meetings are.
Me, and that's all that I had to do, and that's all that I did.
Well, I'm talking about moving forward, you know, part of the planning process of what's going to go on over there that the residents in that area should have.
Mm-hmm. I had started a letter, you know, basically, you know, outlining what their minute capture is, what the plans are, and I left, you know, I left a somewhat petition to the 12 bordering houses of that property, and that was done yesterday afternoon. I've gotten 5 or 6 signatures already. Not a lot, but I went to a small sample of people, you know, 12 houses at night during dinner time in one day. I think that says a lot, and they're all bordering properties to it. I don't know what good it does for here, but I will continue to try and get, you know, other people to at least want to. I mean, the rec department is where it really belongs, I would presume. But.
Okay, so a couple things. Number one, there's not going to be any further activity on the site until I determine exactly what's been done. And there's likely not going to be any further activity anytime soon because, as I said, we have limited resources and limited time. and that really can't be the focus right now. That said, it's 15 acres of property that the taxpayers of the borough of Washington paid for. So eventually something can and should be done with that property. Now, what I would actually argue is there should be, you know, some type of maybe community forum that we would host. I mean, you know, we had, we're doing $1 million road project to reconstruct Grand Avenue. So we sent letters to every property owner on Grand Avenue to come to this meeting to look at the plan, the proposed plan.
And they did.
Talk about plans for, you know, removal of trees, planting of trees.
It's the correct way to do business.
And they, you know, they did. We have seen the projects out to bid right now. You know, we expect it to be a success. So that's what I think, you know, something we should do with this property. That said, you know, not now, because, you know, summertime, we need to focus on keeping the pool going. You know, maybe this is something we can revisit in the fall, but in the meantime, there will be no activity on the property.
Like I said, I'm completely open to people being upfront and blunt with me, as you are about it. I can be argumentative in nature when people beat around the bush and just throw what I have to say away to the side, but, you know, as I've stated before, you've been extremely courteous and timely in your responses to me, and I greatly appreciate that. You know, Mayor Higgins coming by and face-to-face having a chat saying, I can't promise anything, but, you know, we will bring it up if you bring it to council, and I greatly appreciate that. That's, you know,
listen, we're here to serve everybody, and that's what we have to do. But I think including the residents in that area is a good idea as to what's going on.
Yeah.
And trust me, you know, the name calling and I want to say this. Your side of what you're saying is pretty horrendous. Some of the things you told me, I didn't know what NIMBY meant. Does anybody know what NIMBY
meant?
Not in
my backyard.
Yeah,
not in my backyard.
That was on Facebook.
Yeah. And I was the one who was called it, just so you
okay.
know. But,
so, but anyway.
If I wanted to live by a whatever, I would have moved by a whatever. I'm actually right now shaking because I get nervous around a lot of people, which is why I chose to move on the outskirts of town, because there's not a lot of people there. So just even the thought of having groups of people around me when it's a situation I can't control. I'm here because this is a situation I can't control, but I'm still like this. But if it's a situation I can't control, I get angry.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to include just... I appreciate you coming with the letter and the list. I told Mr. Allen to go check, you know, with his neighbors and bring something. And you're right, that would be appropriate to present to the Recreation Commission. I think that the manager is going to have a conversation with the Rec Commission. Do we have an interim director?
No, not currently.
Well, Mr. Hall is the interim director now. And
sorry to put one more thing on your plate.
But if you put a hope over there, then nothing will proceed without information to the residents, knowing what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and who's going to be there. And please bring all whatever you feel is inappropriate. Say you can give Matt a call to allow him to address it. He will let us know what's going on. And we appreciate your time for coming. Sorry for any inconvenience that was caused there. And looking forward to working with you.
Yeah, like I said, I apologize. This is probably the wrong stage presented on, but it's we can't get to the Rec Department.
You're welcome.
So.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Mr. Price, I know.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you very much. My wife also would like to speak, but I'll speak first. We have kind of the same issue, but we have another issue besides that. I'm sure Mr. Higgins remembers this.
I do.
About 2.5 months ago, I met
you
at a spaghetti dinner.
Yes, sir.
With my sister, Lynn Hendershot.
Yes, sir.
And you said to me that within 2 months, That building would be down.
Yes.
I went to the rec commission meeting, and they knew nothing of that. We were going to use this for a meeting hall. We're going to put a railroad museum in there. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
Well, unfortunately, the information that I was provided was, as I said to Mr. Allen, you're only as good as, you know, the intelligence that you get, and I was given wrong information. I don't know what's happening with that building.
Yeah. Well,
I was told that that building would be down within a two-month period from the time that we spoke.
Well, we've lived there since 1978, and that building has sat empty all that time. My wife has a poster board we'll pass around to show you the condition of that building. And the animals that live in there, the turkey vultures, it's all open. They fly in and out. They crawl in that all day long and all night. We've had rat problems. We've had raccoons, groundhogs, the turkey vultures, stray cats all over the place there. And as I said, it was supposed to come down when we bought the property, but we never got nothing in writing.
Way back in 1970.
We bought our property about 1975 from Mrs. Smith. And she said it was going to come down.
Was that her property then?
Yes, that was the chicken farm.
Yeah.
Yes. And they tore down every building on the property but that one because of the fact that the guy who owned it at the time, him and I were not getting along, so he kept that up.
Just to irritate you.
Just to irritate us. And I asked you and everybody else here, how would you feel sitting on your deck looking out 30 feet from your house at this building that we're going to show you pictures of?
Excuse me, can you tell me address?
It's an old
yeah. We have a very odd property.
Okay.
It's near the... We live on Mercer Avenue.
Just so everybody is aware, Mr. Fries resides in the township, but his property...
But a lot of our property is actually in the borough. But when we bought our own property, Mr. Gross was the tax assessor for both the borough and the township. And he said, you have a choice to make now. You have to either go with the township or the borough. Well, if you went with the borough, our kids would have had to walk to school from Worsman Avenue to Taylor Street School. So it was kind of a no-brainer then, so we went with the township. But most of our property is actually in the borough. But there's no real line.
And this property that you're concerned about is in the borough?
Yes.
The entire park is going to border our property. And that's another issue I've had.
The rec commission,
and I believe Mr. Hall was up there one time in our driveway, had used our driveway until I finally complained to Gary as if it was their own. We had a grandson over for the weekend. It's a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, and they're flying down our driveway like it's a road. And then they had the audacity to tell me...
I think the volunteers who were...
The rec commission guys. They had the audacity to tell me that they thought the borough owned that driveway.
Did you get names of...
No, but I know who they are because they're the guys that are at those meetings. Okay. Yeah. Because the guy was up there at 8 o'clock at night on a Friday night. And I ran up to handle him. And instead he went to the driveway and just looked the other way. So the next morning when he came again, I asked him why he didn't stop, and he said, well, I didn't see you. So, but I'm just confused that the rec commission has so much power. I thought they had to answer to the borough and the manager. You know what I'm saying? That's what kind of surprises me.
So the commission is set up by ordinance, and again, they're an autonomous organization.
But who owns that property?
The borough owns the property. Just like the borough owns the pool,
yes.
But the rec commission controls the pool. They run the pool. I mean, they don't now because again, the director's out on medical leave, so I'm sort of de facto, you know, rec director. But recreation commissions by statute are separate but autonomous organizations. I mean, basically, the control that the borough has over them is the power of the purse, funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if we chose to, we could choose to give, you know, reduce or eliminate their funding.
Are they appointed by somebody in recognition?
Yes, they are appointed by the mayor.
The mayor.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I mean, they're
That's interesting.
They do control a lot of questions.
Yeah.
They bring it up to the council.
Yes.
When you approach that space, they will say, bring it up to council.
Yeah.
Council if you don't
That's know. Interesting.
When did you guys have your altercation, so to speak? The name how long ago?
When they did the cleanup in March.
Well, haven't they changed a few reps?
Well, yeah, since then.
But it was the same people who've been doing the cleanup because they were volunteering but weren't on the commission at that time.
We actually had some resignations from the board.
But, I mean, I have a picture here that shows how kind of hypocritical it is that we have to deal with barn. I know that's the township. That was in the Express. And I would hate to see that barn in the Express. But I won't do that if I have to. Do you remember that house?
Yeah, I remember that house.
Yeah.
Right there at the corner of Cemetery Hill.
Yeah.
Do you have a picture of what that barn looks like? I have not seen it. Structurally, how is the building? Have you sent anybody out there to check it out?
I've never been inside.
So confident that building was coming down because
so
that's
were we.
What I was told.
I mean, we kind of just laid back for 40 years and figured, well, eventually it was going to take care of itself. But you know what? It hasn't. It's the fourth owner. And basically, the borough bought it 15 years ago. They mowed the property for about half the summer. And then they abandoned it because they didn't have the funds. And so I mowed it because it's an eyesore.
Mr. Price, is that your deck?
That's our
deck.
Yes.
That's the edge of your deck right there.
That's about 30 feet from that vehicle.
That is your driveway.
Yes. And that's basically the property line. Because our driveway goes right
okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to send the engineer out there to test that building structurally. And we're going to take his recommendations as to what comes down. And then, I mean, what happens with that building, if it's salvageable or whatever they're going to do with it. I know they want to make a walking path, but if they want to keep that building, then they need to start taking care of that building, paint it, side it, whatever it is that they need to do, close it up. Is that building, if I walked up your driveway and went to that building right now, could I get in that building?
You could get through the windows, not. It has plywood over the door, but the issues are
How long has the plywood been over the doors?
Probably 15, 20 years.
How high up are the doors?
I put that wire on there because I'm trying to keep. I did that, but is it my responsibility to do that? I don't think it is. This is the hole that just came recently, but where the turkey vaults is going is right there. Yeah, and they live in there. And they bring this young man.
Matt, what do you think we could have Kevin go out there?
We could probably get out there this week.
All right, so Mr. Price, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the engineer go out there. He's going to give us a report as to what he finds in that building. We have the attorney taking notes here, too, that if that building is structurally unsafe, then we need to take action, and we'll have to wait until we get the engineer's report. But I apologize for giving you bum information. I was given bum information. I apologize.
Who gave you that information?
Well, I would rather not say right now, but all right. Like I said, we had some resignations from the Recreation Commission.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to put that together. Thank you for taking the time to put that together.
Before I met you, mm-hmm. was a big fire in our
yes, it was a
big fire. That barn was about a third, not even maybe a quarter that size, this thing. And you wouldn't believe our backyard was on fire. That's how bad it was.
I see the.
If that thing gets on fire, they'll be a suit against the borough. I guarantee you, because that's going to take our house. It'll take our house. It's not your fireman. That is danger. That would be up near 50 feet in the air. And that's what we do. We go in those fields and we raise monarch butterflies.
Very cool.
We raised 1,460 last year.
Wow.
Mr. Grass.
Yes.
Would it be possible to hold on to that board?
Certainly.
So
I hope I get it back because I knew Gary pictures about a year ago, and he doesn't remember what they are.
Do you want to hold on to this and let Kevin look at this back, or do you just want to send it back there?
We'll just go out there.
Okay. Okay. Oh, here, you can.
No, you can keep. I trust you.
Yeah.
Oh. you can
take them with you.
We'll have to meet ourselves.
So that we can, once the engineer is out there, we can contact you?
So, my name is Heather Kreis. I live at 390 Washburn Avenue with my husband. We're also concerned about the park because we raise butterflies, as you saw in my picture.
That's all right.
And there's oodles of milkweed out there. Butterflies are monarchs. They're endangered, and we have tried to promote their growth. My husband mows around to try to, so that we bring the monarchs into our, or their eggs into our house and we raise them. So we're concerned about all the traffic that comes into the park. And another issue, we've had things stolen from our property the last week. Mm-hmm. And they just opened up the field and people can come in now. We've never had a problem in the 40 years we've lived there. And somebody came in our yard, took our lawn chairs, and a second time, yes, because we have the worst property. We never should have put it. The back of our property is on the railroad, and we have chairs lined up because when our grandchildren come over, we sit there and we watch the trains. And the chairs are gone. There's no way they could get them over the bank. They had to walk up from the park that the wreck opened up. So that's another issue with. There's like no rhyme or reason to this wreck problem. You know, they don't. They're not concerned with people's properties, and, you know, it's kind of sad.
We understand your concern. I have one other question. Mr. Kreis.
Yes.
If they don't use your driveway, how do they get access back there?
My driveway is almost all the way to the end of the property.
Right.
Off of Washburn Avenue.
Okay, so it goes from Washburn Avenue out to the property for the rec commission.
Well, alongside.
We border them. The entire 500 feet of our property borders the rec property.
Okay, so in the picture there, your driveway.
Yes.
Your driveway.
If this is the wreck property that goes out to Washington Avenue, our driveway goes all the way down.
Beside.
The whole thing, beside.
So do they drive in your driveway or do they drive
in
the
hall? No, he was there.
Do they drive in the driveway or do they drive down the
hall? They're older. They have the township trucks in there.
Yeah, they drove in the
half
driveway.
Half on our driveway, half off of it. And I said, yeah, black up. It was a new driveway at the time. There were like 4 or 5
of them up there. They parked either there or down at one on the block.
So the one time that I was at your property was with Gary.
Mm-hmm.
We were there. We spoke, you know, and,
yes.
And he brought one of our guys up because you were actually showing them where you mow and where the milkweed was and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our Department of Public Works hasn't been there since.
No. Well,
and neither have I.
Who's doing the brush hogging? I call it a rec commission. The brush hogging?
So, right, but they're not coming in from your property.
No.
Our the Department of Public Works went in there with the brush hog from Railroad Avenue.
Yeah. So they are involved in it.
Well, we went in there. They asked us if we would go in there and knock down some of the vegetation.
So it isn't all the rec committee, then. You guys actually are involved with it.
So let me clarify. They asked us, can you guys go in there and make some walking paths?
you got to go look in there, seriously. Because it's not a walking path. It's 10 times the size of this room in there, maybe more.
So
that's all I can put in.
Okay.
What our concern was.
All right, one more time. So they asked us, can you guys go in there and brush hog? And this was back in, I want to say, March, you know, something like that. We said, sure. You know, so they went in there and they did that. Now, any cutting trees and all that kind of stuff, that was the commission, the volunteers. Because quite frankly, again,
they're pretty powerful, aren't they?
They are. So quite frankly, I don't have time, we have roads to pave, we have sewers to keep working, we have, you know, actual ball fields, Steinhardt, Bear Field to maintain. We don't have time to work over there. Okay? And I've told the commission that many times. So that's why they solicited for volunteers to go out there. Now, my guys, they were out there. I know exactly what they've done. I know that they've brush hogged and that's it. Because if the commission asked them, hey, cut this tree down, or hey, do this, hey, do that, they would ask me first before they did. Mm-hmm. Or then they would let me know afterwards, here's what you did. Okay? So the Department of Public Works has done none of that. I want to be very clear. Okay?
Well, I don't know if that's true.
They were kind of the brush hauled, so they did. They definitely were.
Were they chipping brush?
I imagine.
Yes, sir. Right after the march, they may cut down a handful of trees that they claimed were dead. Yeah. I went over there for the third time in the day and said, you're cutting down my trees, that needs to stop.
So it's the Rec Commission
and they basically say, oh, it's not the Rec Commission doing it, it's volunteers.
And they have
their standards.
But I want to be clear, not the Borough Department of Public Works.
Right, that's what we're trying to
be clear on that. Yeah.
And I'm not busting your chops about my driveway, but I just know that you understand the question he asked, that our driveway doesn't indeed run all the way down.
Yeah.
It's almost like a fence.
Right, parallel.
So. Yeah. It runs parallel to the property.
So if they blacktopped a pathway next to your property, there'd be a space about that far between your driveway.
If they went right up?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody is clear that's here right now. There is no more work that's going on over there until further notice.
Okay?
And we're going to send the engineer out to check out your building, or not your building, the old chicken coop.
Yes.
That whether it comes down, he's going to give us a report and let us know how structurally sound it is to see if we can save it.
I'm not so much worried about the structural side, but I'm worried about the...
Well, listen, if it presents a nuisance, then we need to take care of it, whether it stays or whether
it goes. You don't, where's that picture again?
Yeah, I see it.
Would you like that next to your house, Mr. Hall? Would you like that building next to your house? Seriously.
I have a building like that on my property.
I'll be honest.
No, I do.
That's your responsibility. But would you like this next to your house? I mean, if you can answer yes, then I'll leave right now. Would you like that next to your house?
Well, whether or not, I want to make, so as Mr. Flynn said, you know, I'm pretty blunt, I'd say, a matter of fact, you know, if this building is structurally sound, okay, what we will probably do is take steps to stabilize it, because it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to bring it down, and that's taxpayer dollars that we need to extend to do that.
Well, how much would it cost to stabilize it?
Well, I mean, we have to make that decision after.
What would they use it for then? Because
ask
anybody who's ever ran a chicken farm how long that smell stays inside a building. That the stench in there is unbelievable.
We're going to evaluate all of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
the difference between saying that it's structurally sound and can you really use it for anything are two different things.
But as I said, you know, as I talked about how we don't have the money to build dog parks and rec centers, tearing down a building of that size.
If I own this building and you bitched about it, what could I say it to you? Well, I'd like to tear this building down, but I don't have the money. I don't have the money. I'm sorry, folks. I can't tear this down.
Yeah, and there are other buildings similarly. Right next to people's houses in town that are in much worse shape that we don't have.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any promises to tear the building down. I'm not going to do it if I don't make promises that I can't follow through on or that. Or
well, I am going to go to the press. I'm sorry, I have to. I have no choice.
Mr. Bragg?
I came here first.
One other thing, I know this is a sore subject, and please forgive me for being so blunt. When they come out to do that check of that building, the engineer, can he use your driveway?
They're more than welcome to use that driveway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that if you're out there when you see him, he'll gladly speak to you.
Yes, so the problem was the recommendation was just using that.
And
that will not happen.
Yeah.
And if it does, I want to know about it right away.
Well, I could blame you, Gary. It's stopped.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, my name is Len Artigler. I own property at 384 Washburn Avenue. I actually moved to a different residence in the township, but I kept that house for one main reason. You can move all over the world and not find neighbors like Ken and Heather Cross, Mickey and Jeannie McCormick, and the Topers. We were surrounded by wonderful people. We have intentions to move back in that property. The barn that Mr. Cries is talking about, and I just want to take, you don't have time to know the history of this property, and I think this preexisted everybody that's here. The prior owner of the property, the borough, completely abdicated all responsibility with respect to that property, and there was the owner violated every imaginable ordinance, disregarded violation notices from the borough engineer. The township manager at the time, because of my day job, my office is also right up on Yeomans Avenue in the borough. The administration that was there kind of said, because of my day job, why don't I handle the problem for the borough? All right? That I paid taxes and had to live next to this nonsense along with all my neighbors, all right? We went to the land use, the land use board. We were before the council numerous times. Well, I had to litigate the case against the developer that had that property. I have an enormous historical collection of documents and history at my office. And one day, maybe if Matt has a slow day and he wants to come over and learn about the history of that property, I will tell him about the history of that property. Now, we're focused, Mr. Cross is focused on that barn, which was part of that litigation. The borough could not get any enforcement or was not enforcing $1,000 a day fines and all these kinds of things. I had to do it in litigation. Ultimately, which led to the purchase of that property, was the litigation that we went forward with, that I went forward with. I would not let my neighbors join the suit. I would not let my wife be a plaintiff in the suit because of the retaliation that the owner of that property was taking. I wanted that all directed to me. He would go out there on a bulldozer, and the torture the folks went through for many, many years with that property is in a transcript, all right, and it's in hearings. And the borough manager at the time actually testified, and I remember some of his testimony, and the cries were there, which was one of the questions was, have you ever had somebody violate with impunity the amount of laws and ordinances that this person has? And he said, no, I've never seen somebody. But there was no enforcement. Now, this barn, I'm going to try to limit it because the big concern is this barn. Not all, it's just really close to the Cry's house, but it's right out in front of my house. All right, that barn was supposed to be taken down by the developer, and they came in and did some sham fix-up, threw some blocks in there and did a sham fix-up. And to tell you the truth, I stopped doing the borough's work, all right? The borough wasn't paying me, and nobody was paying me, so I stopped doing their work. When the borough purchased that property, there were promises made to the neighbors about that barn, that it would be removed. The Cries not only have issues with aesthetics, it is a dangerous condition. in terms of being a fire hazard. They have trouble with respect to securing homeowners coverage because of the nature of that hazard being that close to their house. All right, so it is a dangerous condition. If something were to happen as a result of that barn catching fire, the borough would be responsible. All right, but then that's what I do. All right, that's what I do to earn a living. That is a dangerous condition that the borough has had notice of before any of you folks are sitting in the chairs that you're sitting.
Well, Len, to that point, I mean, how would I or anybody else know this?
I
mean,
well, I know, but it's I did it to from as mayors came in, going back as far as when Mark Bond was the mayor. Mm-hmm. He came down. I gave him a lot of documentation. Here's stuff for you to read. All right, let's take care of the problem. Now, I don't know how long ago that was when Mark Bond was the mayor, and he seemed like he was going to try to do that, right? And I don't know how many managers, but you don't know, mm-hmm. right, what's because, like you're saying, how would you know that unless somebody told you? Well, there's a historical record on the property. I'm sure somewhere somebody has that record. But I have it, and if you want to stop down, you know, my office is up the road. It's now, you know, you could walk. And I'll pull those boxes out, or I'll sit and give you an oral history and some documentation on that property. It is completely unfair that property ultimately was purchased in terms of, let me just straighten something out. The Cries property, the borough, the line for the borough actually goes through my property. I also, so 384 Washburn is partially in the township and partially in the borough. Mr. Cries' lot being a shorter frontage, longer in the back, a great deal of it. So the borough line goes right behind what the folks are describing as the Bodine Wildlife Sanctuary, which is about an acre in the township, and the borough's line runs through the back of that, through my property and through the Cries property. After the Cries property, I don't know where the borough line goes, all right? So that has, that's just to straighten that out about the confusion about the township and the borough. The access, and one of the issues and the foolishness of the builder wanted $150,000 for that entire piece of property after our litigation. I offered $125,000. I came to the borough manager. I said, whatever you do, do not waste borough money, Green Acres money, it is taxpayers' money, in purchasing this property without talking to me first. All right? I advised the manager at that time that I would pay, all right, the majority of the purchase price of that property and to retain an acre behind the Cries house and my house so we would take care of taking that barn down and donate the rest of the property to the borough. Then what happened was the manager at that time, when the builder was on his knees, called him up and said, we're interested in this property. The builder came in, had an engineer draw a development, like I'm going to subdivide this, all right? And the borough, how can I put this in a nice way? They got hammered. They paid in excess of $1 million, and the excuse was, it's not our money. Well, you know what? I work hard. You folks work hard. That's our tax money, whether it comes from New Jersey, the borough, the township, and to waste it like that. But in any event, they did all those things. And it was supposed to be a passive park because there were issues with respect to you put this kind of activity on an active many times in areas that built up over time out here in Warren County, you had railroad tracks through things and things existed. Well, what you don't do is you don't start developing and put children around an active freight train area, all right? They did it in Phillipsburg. I've sued Phillipsburg and the Phillipsburg Housing Authority for children losing their legs, all right, with freight trains, all right? And that was one of, you know, one of the issues that I kept raising with the borough in terms of this property, the value of this property, was minuscule in light of an act. And they park railroad trains out there, and it took us probably a year to get used to the trains running all night. You know, once you get used to something, it's like living in a city. You get used to that sound, and you deal with it, and you kind of get used to it. So they said, no, it's going to be passive. We don't have to worry about having kids around the railroad tracks. And the problems with that property, the borough still doesn't know, because that developer dug a lot of holes and buried a lot of stuff, all right? Because, and again, as part of the history of the property, I went back. That was part of the Smith's farm. Was a chicken farm, and I have pictures of they were kind enough to send me one of the children that grew up there of the farm, of all the buildings that existed on the property. And when this developer came in, a lot of things disappeared, and there were no container trucks going out, all right, when they were taking down all those buildings. They left that building there for spite. It's a spite building, all right? That's why that building was left there. So the cries are absolutely correct in the promises that have been made, and many, many people have said, the barn is going, we're going to take that barn down. And I've heard it so many times, and it was just this evening that I found out, or actually this morning, the cries told me that they were coming to a meeting about this. So I've spent an enormous amount of time trying to protect the neighbors, the borough, and the township with respect to this piece of property, and it needs somebody's attention. And I will do it again if folks are interested. I will provide the background on this property because I have it all from a lawsuit, so things are pretty much, I have transcripts.
What year was that lawsuit? Do you remember?
It would probably be within a year of the borough's purchase. I don't know, maybe you guys remember?
I'd say about 16, 17 years ago.
Right.
Before they bought it.
How old were the kids? How old was Matt and Andrew?
Well, Andrew's been gone for 13 years.
So they were how old?
Mm-hmm.
They were still little.
Yeah.
I would say more than 20. I can give you all that precise information, the times all those things happened, the correspondence with the borough manager.
So here's what I'll tell you. You've been around a long time.
Right.
I've been around about 3 years. Okay. I've learned an enormous amount in 3 years. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, somebody told me, somebody promised me way back when this manager or this mayor or whoever said, okay. Unfortunately, I have to deal with the borough as it is now, not as it was. Okay. Before this meeting, I stopped by a gentleman's house who talked to me about how they said that his road would be paved 5 years ago. We're doing it this year. We're just getting to it now. He's happy about that. But, you know, I asked him, well, who's they? Well, I don't know. Some person I talked to at the borough. And it's been over and over and over.
But you're not going to have that problem, Matthew, because one of the things that I do is because I'm aware of what happens as administrations change,
yeah,
as managers change.
Yeah.
And part of my job is when you take over and you're representing an entity, and even though you don't know about it, the entity was still bound by the promises that were made. Now, the difference is I have documents. So it's not, you're not going to have to say, I don't remember, all right? I'm going to show you, all right? I will show you. I will point out minutes.
We're going to deal with it.
And it's not.
The reality is that
right.
Is now.
No, I understand that. but the historical nature is of critical importance. It's not an issue. It's not criticism of you that you don't know this. All right. I'm not saying it's any lapse on your part. It's how would you know? And part of the problem is I got tired of telling people. All right. I got tired of appearing and saying why am I the guy? All right. To deal with this property after so many years, it gets to be frustrating. And to see the kind of things that keep going on and on. And when that fire happened next to the Cry's house at the Shulacks that lived next door, and I went over to see, it was amazing to me to see how far that fire reached into the Cry's yard. And it was, that thing was about 100 feet, right? Much farther than this place. The other, and there's so many other issues with the barn. And one of the things was, my wife went after and killed a rabid skunk with a broom. All right, that came out of that barn. I was not a happy camper. All right, when I came to
an animal control officer, right?
Pardon?
You're very good.
Who's that?
This was, did you realize we have an animal control officer?
Yeah. Well, the animal control officer at the time was outstanding. It was Betty Wysocki.
Oh, okay.
All right. Mr. and Mrs. Wysocki came out, helped with the cat. I told her, look, I love animals. I don't mind them being around with the cats. I just said, neuter them and bring them back. All right. And we'll deal with the ones we have. The problem was that we got so many. All right, and Ms. Wysocki handled that problem. I'll tell you, that was Mr. and Mrs. Wysocki were very responsive folks in doing their job. All right, they did an outstanding job. I miss them enormously. I don't know the new guy. I don't know the new folks. Excuse me one second.
We're going to put a tent up for him to live up there, wouldn't we? With the amount of animals that are in there?
The danger in...
Well, actually, when I go up there with the engineer, I would bring him with us.
That's what's in there.
And what they're talking about in the old barn, and I was doing it for years in the old barns, is when they stopped being a chicken farm, they didn't clean anything out.
Nothing.
And I actually, Mr. Kreitz and I were actually cleaning them out. Now, I would go load up wheelbarrows and take the old chicken manure out and use it, and grind it into the garden and do as much as I can. Because once the roofs, I don't know if folks ever raised chickens. I grew up raising chickens. You put water and chicken poop together, all right, it's a lovely smell. You really, it's nasty, all right. And when the roofs leaked on that, you knew that was an old chicken farm. All right.
There was a fire at Ice Bay Farm, so I know what water is.
All right, so...
And before you moved there, lightning hit one of the buildings, and there was a big fire in that field. I don't think anybody would remember that here.
The
old building.
So here's what we're going to do, if we can. We're going to, the engineer and the manager are going to go out and check out the building. Sir, if you could get some documentation...
Absolutely.
...that says... that the town promised to take that building down and present that to Matt and the engineer and then have the attorney review it. And here's what I would like to do. Once you find out when that litigation was and when the actual... we're going to look to find out the actual purchase date of that property so we can go back and check our minutes to find out what...
I might even have minutes... So there's a lot of things that I will have that you won't have to look up. There's some may be in minutes. I know when we create records, there was sometimes that I sought and received transcripts. There were other times that I just relied upon the record being maintained by the borough. But most of these items, and it won't be a one-time thing. I won't overburden... Your man, he has other things to do, but like one time he can come and I'll pull out, I think I still have a couple litigation binders that I'll sit down with him. I will trust him with those binders so he can take what he needs, and then if he wants to make copies or whatever, he can make copies of those things.
Was the borough brought into this suit for failing to under an allegation for failing to enforce?
No, what I did is I subpoenaed the borough manager to testify. I did not bring, for strategic purposes, I wanted the developer to have to fund the litigation on his own, all right? Government entities, you know, when they're funding somebody else's litigation. So while I should have sued the borough, I didn't. I just sued the developer.
And how did it resolve?
I won the case that the developer, it was a finding by a jury that he maintained a nuisance. The jury also found that it was egregious enough to have a hearing on punitive damages. Now, we didn't get a lot. Actually, the money that we received was minuscule. When you walk in as an attorney, and I was the plaintiff, and we had a big shot developer, all of a sudden tears in his eyes, you know, when it came time to award money, I essentially turned that money over to the attorney that represented me. In the actual trial, I retained an attorney. I did all the work up until the trial on my own. So we won the case.
Okay.
So it was established as a nuisance by a jury 20 years ago.
So we should have some answers for the building. You have answers already for what's going on with the tree cutting and what's going to be taking place over there. Excuse me. And from this point forward, we move forward.
Yeah, and if it ever gets to the point, I'm not even addressing because of the absurdity of what I'm hearing, whatever this rec commission is doing. I'm just hearing about it. It's absurd, and if I have to come and address those issues, I will address those issues specifically. But I think it's important with that size of the property that the folks in charge now, as Mr. Hall has mentioned, it wouldn't hurt. It would be of great benefit to have a little historic background on that, and I think it also helps government officials. I'm the land use board chairman in Washington Township. One of the things that I always do after we approve a project is I wait a period of time and I go out and look, all right, because engineers say things, experts come in and testify, and then I go eyeball and see what I screwed up, what did I miss, all right, what do I want to remember for the next time. One of those issues, I don't know if anybody sees the bus depot on Route 57, going towards Hackettstown, and one of the things I missed on a drawing was they had the fence, and I went afterwards, and what I didn't see on the drawings were at the top of the fence they had barbed wire, all right, and before when it was new, it looked like a prison camp. So as you were driving from Hackettstown into the township and the borough, one of the first things you saw, I was so disappointed in myself that I missed that, all right? I'll never miss it again. Now, the fortunate thing was the trees that our planter said plant there grew up, so now when I drive by, I don't feel so bad. But I think on these issues, and when the borough, there was some mentioning about purchasing a property, all right? There's some lessons learned about getting fleeced, all right?
Oh, well,
with that 15-acre property to the tune of probably $1 million beyond the value, beyond what the cost should have been.
That's 16 acres.
Pardon?
And that's 16 acres.
Yeah, it's 15 acres that nobody was interested in except me to get rid of that, me and Mr. Cross to get rid of that barn.
Okay.
Right? Other than that, it's utterly worthless.
Just so you're aware, the property that we did purchase was 86 acres or somewhere in that neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
less than $1 million.
Yep. You got a bargain, huh?
Kenny, what was it? 1.2
1.2.
That's 15 acres.
All right. Next to a railroad freight yard.
Do you want to tell me about the flammable and to phone in there?
I don't want to take any more. I don't want to take any more of your time.
Thank you for coming. Thank we appreciate it.
Don't hesitate.
We're going to get answers for
to
you.
Call me, Mr. Mayor. If you ever want something specific or you want to see it yourself, I'm up the road. You know.
I know where you're at.
All right, just stop in. I'm getting old, and I, you know, like I said, I'm not a homie like the Cry. The Cry's have been here forever, so they've always been my homie resource. All right. But I've been here long enough.
Well, I have some background. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. We will have answers. And if you, I don't know how long it's going to take. Our next meeting is when?
July 2nd.
Okay. Hopefully you'll have some information by then, at least a phone call and a letter to follow it up. Okay. We'll see what we can do. Same with you guys.
Thank you.
I have one last question.
The guy on the grassy knoll. No, go ahead. Only old people know that one.
Yeah,
3 years ago when I came up here trying to buy or settle taxes on 115 Railroad, because I do had interest in purchasing it, the town told me that they are not in the business of owning property. Since then, we've sold a bunch of properties for a dollar to get them rejuvenated.
That's not true. That was what came up as
that's all over the news. That Washington sold properties for a dollar to get them. They had to come back up to certificate of eligibility and all that.
Can you reference?
I have to look it up, but there was something going on. It was like first time home buyers in Hackettstown and the foreclosed properties and.
You know what? That was probably an advertisement. I mean.
Just real quick. So when back taxes are owed on a property, typically a tax sale is held, and the properties are bought for taxes owed, and then that investor who invests in that tax lien then can demand 18% interest on the lien.
Correct.
So whoever owns that property can pay the taxes owed plus the 18% interest to redeem the property. Or sometimes that person will let it go. Sometimes an investor buys a lien on a piece of property that no one really wants, and they find themselves with a worthless lien. Sometimes they'll get somebody else to buy that lien.
Well, here's where Mr. Allen's getting at. Mm-hmm. Since the borough took possession of that property for not paying taxes, it is now ours.
Right.
What does he have to do to purchase that property?
I tried to settle those taxes before it was foreclosed on and either purchase that lien or bring it up to current so that a proper sale could happen between myself and Miss Lee because I leased the property. So we were told that should have come back up for sale because this was not something that...
It's owned
by the borough.
The borough apparently did a tax foreclosure on it back in
2016.
Do we have
2016?
I don't know.
Trees, like an old orchard.
Yeah.
Acres,
yeah.
Acres,
yeah. No, it's across
this
the street.
Acres.
This is a 0.92 acre corner lot adjacent to my lot, which I maintained and leased for several years.
It's something that could be considered.
It's just like we were offering that piece of property that has been up now offered a couple of times.
You'd have to offer it depending on the size. There's a number of different variables that go into it. It's a certain size. It's got to be put out to bid. If there's specific property owners, it's got to be. And if it's under a certain size and not developable, but there are contiguous property owners, they all have to be notified. So that it depends on the dynamics of the actual property, which I'd have to look into.
At the point 0.92 residential non-developable.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the simple answer here is we don't decide how to dispose of these types of properties. State law tells us how we can do it.
Right.
So, I mean, tonight we're going to, vote on a resolution to accept a bid or piece of property we put out to bid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the process that the state tells us that we have to go through in order to sell the property.
I tried to prevent it. I'm just trying to,
I'm still interested in
the property.
I'm just trying to explain that the statute that addresses how a municipality is allowed
we
to sell its own property.
We can't just decide how we do these.
So the answer
That was my question, was to see how it can still occur, because you have residents who still...
And we would have to decide to put it up for sale.
Right. At this point, now that we
own it. And then if you made that decision, there'd be a process depending on how many property owners were...
So we have an interested buyer if we would like to put it up for sale.
Trying to get revenue coming back, more tax money coming in.
More tax dollars.
And less DPW that has to go out and mow another lot.
I think
just so everybody knows, Mr. Allen is a United States Marine veteran.
Flynn.
What did I say?
Allen.
Yeah, Mr. Flynn. It's Jason Flynn.
Justin.
All I know is you're a Marine.
That's correct.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to try to help you guys out any way we can. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for hearing us.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to approach?
I guess I'm the only one. You wanted to say
that. I'm the happy fun committee after all that.
All right. Name and address for the record, please.
Melanie Teal, 21 Belvedere Ave, Washington. I'm the executive director of the Washington Borough Bid, so that's my work address. So we've been busy since the last time I was at a council meeting. The flower pots are out. We did purchase 10 more, so we have a total of 35. So we have 25 bigger ones, and now we have 10 that are the next size smaller, so, you know, looks a little nicer, the, you know, it's a little different around town. There's only two that need to be put out yet, because Mary Jo Harris and Priscilla, whose last name...
Priscilla Parr.
Okay, so she helped with it, and she only had a small window of time to help us that day because of all the rain. She was so backed up. Like, that's her business, you know, landscaping and all that. And so she had a lot of catching up to do with other paying customers. So, but everything I've done except two flower pots, those go down by Enzo's Plaza, and they'll be out soon, like within the next week or two, they'll be out. Mary Jo Harris had some health issues. She had some problems with her knees, and a little gimpy. She couldn't get around as good. But she's on the mend now, so we'll get those two flower pots down at the other end of the borough, and I think they look great.
Mm-hmm.
And once the flowers start growing, they're really going to look nice. All of them were adopted. They all have families.
There was a waiting list for adopting our planters.
Nice.
That's awesome, right?
Yep. So we told everyone that's on the waiting list that they'll get the first shot at the fall planting for the hardy mums. So, and then whoever currently has a planter adopted, it's going to be like a race for the planters, first come, first serve. You know, so, because we're not buying any more than 35. it's too much to maintain then. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank the volunteer fire department for coming out that day and helping. We can't do it without the fire department. And Mary Jo and Priscilla and all the other volunteers. And Greg Fleegoff has, as always, offered to make the plaques that are going in each flower pot so we know who they were adopted by. Next thing is, I'm sure you all remember the money that was collected for bike racks and all that. The money was spent, so happy to say we ordered two bike racks and two benches. And that will take care of, that account will be empty.
Where did bike rack come from that's downstairs?
The fire department.
Fire department. They bought it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're buying...
there's a plaque going to be put on that donated by the fire department.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As one of the benches are going to be a plaque put on it is donated by Cafe 57.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. So one bench was paid for in full by Anwar down at Cafe 57, and the other bench and the two bike racks came out of the money that was collected by the businesses and the citizens in town, so that line item in the bid budget will be closed out.
Nice.
Okay, so that takes care of that. We have a video that was professionally done as a donation to the borough by HTV Media in Hackettstown. Ron Jacob you want to see it, it's on our bid website, and it's also on all the social media, Facebook sites, and our Twitter account and all that. And it's a sampling of what we have to offer in the borough. Everybody loved it. We had one complaint from one business owner in town, and I handled it, but there's 100-plus businesses in town. There's no way we could videotape everybody. So we did a sampling of what we have to offer and what we could accomplish in one day. And if you look at the video, it's about a minute long, maybe a minute and 10 seconds. That took 8 hours of videotaping. So there is, and that was done, like I said, as a donation to the bid by HTV Productions. So how do you get angry when something was donated like that? That video is worth $1,000 if we were to pay Ron to do it. He charges between $800 and $1,000 to film a commercial that gets put on Comcast or on TV, because that's his main business. This is longer than a 60-minute TV commercial, and he did it for free. So I really don't want to hear any complaints from, it is what it is. You know, I think it's wonderful. I hope you all enjoy it, too. And it's good for us. Any publicity is good publicity, and this is fantastic footage. So you can look at that. If you can't find it somewhere, I can send you a link, or when you come to the next council meeting, I can show it to you, too. Or the next bid meeting. The Green Fest last Saturday was fantastic, and I'm going to just let Josephine take it from there, because Josephine, Susie Marr, all the volunteers, the Green Team, it was just incredible. So thank you very much. Anybody have any questions for bid?
Thank you.
This Saturday is Senior Citizens Fest at the Farmers Market. We have Tai Chi, we have chair yoga, we have the band This Old House playing.
Mm-hmm. So. And I just posted that event before the council meeting, so it is posted on the Washington Borough Farmers Market as an event.
Okay,
and
good.
I will reshare that.
Yeah, and we should, or if you want to make, you should make an event for the Red, White, and Blue second annual.
Yeah, I'm
Red, White, and Blue
that.
Baking Contest. Yeah.
I put the senior day in the senior newsletter, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody else who would like to approach? Hearing nobody, I will entertain a motion to close the audience.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain.
All right, where are we at?
Anybody want to know, please?
Okay.
Let's go on a pair of bills. Oh, no. Nope. First of all, we have to do the minutes.
Okay.
From May 7th and May 21st.
I just have a couple questions about the minutes. The resolution about the property that's actually, it's across the street from me? I feel like that resolution, it says that I moved it, but I don't think I did. I think I was trying to completely abstain from that and not say anything. So you did, so Ethel, I think, moved that. I abstained.
That's a good catch. What minutes are that?
I'm sorry. I had it, and now I can't find it. But I'll
May 7th? Right?
I think it's May 7th. I'm just looking through. I'm sorry.
Do we have a motion and a second?
Yes.
We have a motion and a second.
It's Resolution 2019-89 from May 7th.
Ethel said she made
the original motion for that resolution, 2019-89.
Did anybody make a motion for the minutes?
I did.
And she seconded. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. Okay, let's move on to the vouchers.
Motion to pay the bills. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
Duchenne?
Yes.
Newton?
Yeah.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Any new business? Thank you. Ordinances, second reading. I'll entertain a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance 2019-13.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Public, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. I'll entertain a motion to close the public
hearing. So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Then I'll introduce a motion to adopt.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
Newman?
Yeah.
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to, do I need a motion to open public hearing, or can I just open it?
You need a motion.
All right, yeah. I need a motion to open the public hearing on 2019-14. Motion and a second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Public hearing is open. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? I'll entertain a motion to approve ordinance 2019-14.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Yes, ma'am.
This is to purchase the sweeper?
Yes.
And I know that we're taking a bond out for this, but I don't remember. Do we say how long that should take to pay off?
5 years is what this commission told us at the budget workshop.
Okay, just a reminder. Okay.
Okay, so we, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
Newman?
Yeah.
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. That was to approve, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinance 2019-15, I need a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Public hearing is open. I entertain a motion to close the public
so
hearing.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Okay. Now to approve ordinance 2019-15.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
News?
Yes.
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Okay. I need a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance 2019-16.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? I'm getting way faster than you. My mouth is not catching up with my brain. Okay, I need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Then I'll entertain a motion to approve. Ordinance 2019-16.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
Newman?
Yeah.
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Okay, let's go on to resolutions.
Okay.
I should have marked this down, all these tax sales.
Hmm.
I mean, tax redemptions. All right, let's go real quick. Resolution 2019-97.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
Newman?
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-98. Shared service agreement with a sharing animal control officer and vehicle between them.
So moved.
Second.
All those, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
Newman?
Yeah.
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-99, resolution for redemption of tax certificate.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Connor?
Yes.
DeShemin?
Yes.
Buesel?
Yes.
Newman?
Yeah.
North?
Yes.
Bowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Let's see here, resolution 2019-11, resolution for reduction of tax certificate.
So moved. Second.
We have motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-101, retail distribution license, Scotty Stadium.
So moved. Second.
Sorry.
We have motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-102 is a license for Enzo's.
So moved.
Second.
We have motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. 2019-0103 is a retail distribution license for Philbert's Pub.
So moved.
Second.
We have motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Newton?
Yeah.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-104, the retail distribution for Williams Irish Tavern.
So moved.
Paid?
Second.
Yes, they are paid.
Okay, we have motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Newton?
Yeah.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-105, modifying the police service contract between the Borough of Washington, Township of Washington, and Township of Oxford.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Is that for the parking enforcement?
Yes.
That's what that's for? Mm-hmm. Home?
Yep.
Well, what do you mean home?
That's our portion of it.
So yeah, this is police services contract. I just want to make sure that's the only thing we're talking about and not other
things. That's
the
only portion of the contract we're modifying. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
All right. Did we vote on that?
Mm-hmm.
Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Newton?
Yeah.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-106, authorizing Tilcon to pave borough roads.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-107, resolution establishing an hourly rate for professional engineering services rendered by Borough of Washington Engineering supporting professionals.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Could you just explain why we're doing that? I'm sorry.
Yes.
So, a lot of what... So the engineer does work for us, right?
Yep.
So that's pretty straightforward. In both the township and the borough, I'll give you a hypothetical example. So, New Jersey American Water, for example, or any other utility wants to upgrade their mains, mm-hmm. they need to take up our streets.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to do that, they have to submit their plan to our engineer. Now, previously, we used a consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
So, when the engineer would review the plans, it was at no cost to us. It was at a cost to the utility company. So, we never saw, well, I shouldn't say we never saw those. The utility would submit an escrow to us, and the engineer, the consulting firm, would take their fees out of the escrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was passive for us.
Okay.
It was just money that would come into the borough and go out of the borough. So now the engineer works for us. We basically charge the utility companies for our engineer to review their plans.
Okay.
So
this is what we'll charge them.
Right. So we're referencing the state statute here, which is 40:55B-53.2A, which permits us to charge up to 200% of the engineer's hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you know, whatever his hourly rate is, we can charge up to 200% of that in order to, you know, pay for his time, you know, because his time is being taken away from, you know, other projects to review the utility company's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this provides for not just the engineer's time, but any other professionals, such as an inspector. you know, who would go out and make sure that, that the work's being done in accordance with the plans, so that the borough is compensated for that fine.
Good.
All right. We have a motion and a second.
I have a question, I'm sorry. So, I understand what you're saying, but when I'm reading this, it says, so, you know, as for Exhibit A, and Exhibit A is, I believe this was brought up last time, is to enter a shared service agreement with the township. We're still using our own engineer, right?
Right, so
okay, just making sure.
No, I'm just saying, so Kevin Smith, right?
Yeah.
New Jersey American comes in and says, like, for Broad Street.
Yes.
You know, they say, okay, we're gonna upgrade this main, we're gonna excavate a trench 6 feet up. So Kevin spends 2 hours reviewing the plans.
Right.
So he keeps track of that. And then their escrow is filled, double whatever his hourly rate is for that time.
Okay.
But who's doing it? It's the engineer for the...
Right, so the money's coming to the borough.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
Ms. Sherman?
Yes.
Mesick?
Yes.
News?
Yes.
Norris?
Yes.
Dowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Resolution 2019-108, accepting a bid for property located in Block 100, Lot 52.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Just to be clear for the record, it is more than $1.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, $14,000 more.
Okay.
Can I ask, is this the people that we expected to buy this property, or somebody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Finally buying it.
We bid 3 times, and then we finally received.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Connor? Yes. Dishman? Yes. Newton?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Norris?
Yes.
Dowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. All right, old business. New old business. Good. Recap.
Kevin Smith, the Animal Officer Langanera, and myself will be investigating the chicken barn. And I'll also be talking with the prize, George Clary. I will also reinforce with the director of work for the Recreation Commission that no work is further work to be conducted on the property. We'll be closely supervising going forward.
Can we put that in writing to email?
Yes.
Email that to them, put it in writing, give it to their secretary to distribute.
I'll tell you what, why not make it official? Why don't you guys make a motion?
Okay. I would like to make a motion that no more volunteer work or rec commission work be done on the Railroad Avenue Park until further discussion and notice.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Conley?
Yes.
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 Dowdy?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Okay, do we need to go? You had me confused there for a minute.
I am cold.
Okay. Do we need to go into executive session for anything?
Yeah, but before we do that, I just wanted to report briefly. I'm going to prepare a written report. I just haven't had time to do it on the field trip that Jonathan James and I took to Wardenboro in Morris County to investigate
the state.
It was a very successful trip. They do an excellent job at it. It works out well for them financially, and it definitely warrants further discussion. So we are going to, you know, we're working on some numbers right now. Because essentially, what they told us, now that, you know, again, they are a town that is very similar size to us. They have about 5,500 or so people, I think slightly more. They're slightly larger. They are 2 square miles as opposed to 1.8. Okay, so similar density. Jonathan and I actually rode. They do garbage spread over 2 days. So Jonathan and I both rode with them on the same day, so we only saw one half of the town. It's very similar. You know, they have suburban neighborhoods that are a little bit more spread out. They have very dense areas, you know, like a lot of multifamily duplexes, you know, a lot of rental housing. So it's very comparable in that respect. They spend now, you know, whole number when you're talking, you know, tipping fees, personnel, equipment, maintenance, all that. They spend about $630,000 a year on sanitation. Now, we spend about $600,000 a year to contract it out. So, and that's in this current contract. You know, it's going to go up in 2020, and then it will be the new contract, which is going to go up quite a bit more, I would imagine.
No, that cost would be more if we were maintaining our own trucks, paying our own people.
Well, what I'm saying is Wharton spends about $630,000 a year doing it himself.
Including the personnel.
Yeah. Right, but, yeah, that's everything.
But not the startup cost for the...
Well, yeah, I mean, you could look at it a number of ways. Like, you know, obviously they're purchasing new equipment. There's debt service on that equipment, maintenance. So, I mean, that could be...
That's also
part of it.
Yeah.
I have a question about tipping fees.
Yes.
I've heard that since Blue Diamond is a bigger company, are the tipping fees the same?
Do they get
spread
a discount?
Across the board, or do they get a discount?
So the tipping fees are a pass-through cost. So
would our tipping fees be more if we done it ourselves than what Blue Diamond has to pay?
No, it would be the same. Yeah, because like Oxford, for example, now goes to Annandale Transfer Station, and they pay $84 a ton just like we do.
Okay.
Now, what I will say, when you look at Wharton's overall costs, their tipping fees are a much bigger chunk of their $630,000 than our tipping. We pay $200,000 a year in tipping fees.
Mm-hmm.
They pay about $3.25.
So
the reason for that is, number one, they have a much more generous limit on the number of cans that they allow people to put out. So that's number one. Number two, they dispose of their trash at the Morris County MUA, and the Morris County MUA charges $96. It's quite a bit more.
Okay.
You know, so number one, we're at a lower threshold as far as the amount of cans we allow people to put out.
Mm-hmm.
We output less and we pay less.
I have
We could potentially, there may be opportunity. I don't want to comment on anything with regard to the incinerator or anything like that, but there may be opportunities for us to pay less than $84 a ton, but that's yet to be resolved. So that's encouraging to see that the tipping, we pay so much less in tipping fees.
Right.
And that could go towards personnel costs, debt service on equipment, mm-hmm. things of that nature. The only other thing that really needs to be worked out is, so Wharton does their own vegetative waste pickup,
okay.
which people really love because they pick up branches every week, whereas, you know, our current service, they only pick up grass clippings and leaves and basically sticks and twigs. Wharton picks up all of that plus branches every week. Our DPW only does branches twice a year.
Right.
So that would be a huge service increase to the residents.
Okay.
So that would be one. The other thing with the way they do trash is they do bulk every week. The way they treat bulk is this. Just to give an illustrative example, we pulled up to a house that had a couple of trash cans out and a stroller. So I asked the driver, I said, what are they going to do with that stroller? He said, well, we only consider bulk to be any single item over 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just take it. You know, if you have an item that's, you know, a single item over 50 pounds, any table, a stroller, a lamp, you can just set it beside your trash can and you take it. Anything, and that's every week, anything that's over 50 pounds, any single item over 50 pounds, like a mattress, I mean, we picked up probably 6 or 7 mattresses. You have to go down to Borough Hall, get a sticker, you pay $10, you get a sticker, and you can put it out any trash day.
For that particular item?
Yes, for each item over 50 pounds.
For each item over 50 pounds.
Yeah, but that would be nice not to have to keep it in your basement for 6 months.
You're right. So, there again, that would be a huge service increase. So those are two bright spots. The only thing that needs to be worked out, and I need to dig into the numbers a bit more on this, they do not do their own recycling. Morris County anyway does the recycling. Now, they pay for that service.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sent me what the annual cost of that is. Now, the director did tell me that before his time, Wharton did their own recycling. And then they eventually subbed it out to the MUA. He thinks that they can do it cheaper, so he's thinking of taking it back from the MUA.
Well, that's what my question was going to be, is like, you could do trash on Monday, you could get finish on Tuesday.
Well, we
have cycle on Wednesday, like paper, glass, whatever.
Well,
cardboard Wednesday, paper, glass, whatever.
Well, I mean, if we're going to do it, we would go to co-mingle, which, again, I think people would appreciate.
Well, then everything.
That's everything on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
For the garbage, would be one truck and the recycling and all that would be a separate? Or
same
everything?
Truck,
okay, just checking.
Yeah. Right. So I would just like to add my comments if I could.
There's so many stipulations on how we recycle.
Only took 20 years to get somebody to listen.
Thank you.
There's more investigation to be done, but we are going to visit another town. We're going to visit Milltown Borough in Middlesex County. Whatever trash day. They're actually a little bit denser than we are, so that might be interesting. They're like 1.6 square miles, 7,000 people.
Thanks for that update.
Friday if we do it on the...
Okay, so...
I would also argue that, yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Trash in the week.
Well, got Tuesday. Anything else? Okay. Let's start with council comments. Keith, we're going to start with you tonight, since it was Father's Day.
Not Father's Day.
Okay, never mind.
Well, I'm not. I got no. Anyway, the only thing I have is I brought up the shirts last time. I was asked to check on prices. I was at B&R picking up uniforms for some of the guys on the fire department. I asked while I was there, just because I was there. They're like $37 a shirt straight across the board. So I had to come down to the village, you can get some stuff. So I asked them while I was in there, talked to Regina. We can get a polo like this, which is a little heavier, with councilman, councilwoman, whatever you want over here, with the Washington Borough over here, $18 to $23, depending on size. Or we can go with, they have a like a high drive type for like summer, September when it's so hot. It's a little cooler. She said it's like $3 or $4 more for that shirt, just for the shirt. But that includes the embroidery and everything.
Okay.
So you're looking maybe $23 a shirt.
That's
from
the
building.
And then we would just pay it for our own shirt.
Right. And now, is there any logo on the back for a Washington or anything like that? Or
it's
like
it's going to be a polo shirt like this. It's not going to have anything on the back. It's just if we vote and choose, if you even want to put your name on this side or the council person on this side. But the Washington Borough logo will go over here.
We actually did something similar.
Yeah, I saw yours and Mike's order.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that he had sort of a uniform appearance since he's going to students' homes, and actually the county OEM was kind enough to make him a county ID.
Nice.
Because we obviously felt that was important if he's
I missed this discussion, though. What are the shirts about?
That would just be for us to wear at events, people would know we were council people.
All right. And it goes by size. She said small to, I think, extra large is one price. 2X, 3X would be a couple of dollars more.
Okay.
And that's the same thing we do with fire. When we get T-shirts for fire department, the 2X and 3X are always a couple of dollars more.
Yeah.
They did want to put a target on the back of those shirts. Thanks.
And I don't know if anybody's either interested.
I'm definitely interested.
Sure.
I know I am. I'd like to be known when I'm out.
Okay, why don't you get one and then bring it in and do the runway thing for us.
Fashion show.
Sashay down the aisle here.
I think the big question is if we wanted it to actually say, like, Councilwoman Noon, or just Councilwoman, or just Councilperson, or what? Anybody have an opinion?
I know. You mean
Councilwoman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind to say Councilwoman, but anyway.
Of the Washington Borough, Warren County.
Anything else?
Anyway. No, I'm
good.
All right. Thank you, sir. Like your chair.
Thank you.
One way. Anyway, Josephine.
I just want to thank, in particular, the BID administration, so Mel Teal and Marianne, who's the new administrative assistant. I have to say, they worked really hard to make sure the Green Fest, everything was very well organized, and all of the people from the Green Team, and then all of the members of the community that came out to support the event. And Dove Environmental did butterfly releases. We had 2 grand openings downtown. So we had the candy shop did their opening, grand opening, and then we also had the grand opening of the new CBD oil store in town. So those 2 grand openings. So it was a very nice event for the community. A lot of things happening in town and very well attended.
Thank you. Councilwoman Valley.
I have a few things. I'm really happy that our Route 57 is being paved. So here's my question. When you're on 57 and we're at the Advanced Auto and the Auto Zone there, there's the boulevard. Mm-hmm. Ever since they changed the road, and there's not really a lot of lines there, but there's just an area where you're supposed to stop. I believe that area where they've marked for the cars to stop are actually in the wrong position, because it's actually a blind spot when you're coming out east or west out of, what is it?
The boulevard?
There's going to be 2 different
spots.
As of right now, it's very dangerous. The cars come right up. They're not seeing anybody that's pulling out to make the right. So you're right here. Got the other cars coming. They're looking over here, and there's another line to go up onto into Washington.
Yeah, I think some people not know what to do there.
They don't know what to do, and especially in the evening, it's very dark, and there are a few people that don't drive with their lights on, and I find it to be dangerous.
It's just not marked very well.
Yes. I'm talking about
that.
I'll talk with DOT.
Make sure that they're lying.
I don't know if
correct.
They have plans to do anything with the boulevard is state road.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have plans to do anything with that.
Mm-hmm.
Since basically they're, you know, they've paved everything east of 31. They're going to pave everything
right.
West of 31. 31 is actually going to be repaved probably not for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where the boulevard figures into that, but I will talk to them about it.
And I know that, school's out, and I know that there's a crossing guard that always crosses, like, somewhere in the middle of the boulevard there. I don't believe that there's lines there now for people to cross, because if they're crossing from the one corner to the Shabbaton,
yeah.
The distance is way too far along. I don't think people know that they should really be crossing in the middle of this.
I actually don't know how to look at it.
And number 2, on the corner of that intersection on Prosper Way, there's the Shattercon, and there's this huge,
the
huge overgrown massive weed that's really blocking the view from the left.
If you're trying to turn left onto 57 or right, it's in the Shabbaton. It's trees kind of and very large
it's
bushes
very large.
Growing right through the bridges, but it makes it very hard to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Speaking of that 2019 ordinance, are we doing anything about those cars that's still on the street?
Which cars?
The guy who's...
Yeah, I haven't been able to get in touch with him, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
We didn't sign that agreement that we passed.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of things that still need to happen.
Because he's got cars going this way, he's got cars going that way on the street. This is awful.
Are you done now?
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, thank you. That was, I was going to mention that too. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And I know I've mentioned this before, but there's a patch of land on Myrtle Ave that has tall grass, probably as high as 3 feet tall. It's unknown. It's very, I don't want to call it dangerous, but very skeptical of what's actually inside. And I was hoping, yeah, it's very high, but tall grass, very similar when you're coming into the embankment of Myrtle, there's tall grass. And a lot of the, pretty much most of the neighbors that are along there, they've asked me who owns it, and I've gone over the same story. And I was just hoping that maybe we could take care of the tall grass just maybe at this time, and maybe somebody else will start mowing it. It's behind Myrtle.
Well, I can guarantee you that if we mow it, someone's going to mow it.
Well,
is it, where's
the
is it
the old canal property.
It is,
the problem with these properties is the title, you know, the canal had them up until the 30s or whenever the canal folded. The title is not clear on any of the property, and it's all owner unknown. And, you know, a lot of people who live on McKinley just kind of maintain that property as if it's their own, which is fine. You know, if they want to mow it and put lawn chairs back there, or, you know, far be it from us to tell them that they can't. You know, what I don't want to do is get into a situation where now we have acres more grass to grow, more grass to mow, just because no one else is doing it. It's not the borough's property.
Right, and I understand that.
If someone were to offer it to us for a dollar, I would refuse it because I don't want it, and we don't want it.
I thought that somebody was trying to create like a long trail along there.
There's a
movement to do that.
There's a group out there that would like to create a trail out of it. But I mean, that's years off if it ever happens. You know, the problem is some of the canal people do own it. Like actually, Cynthia, your next door neighbor owns.
Yes, a few do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it becomes tough because you start building this trail, and then you say, okay, we have all this owner unknown property, we're going to take control of that. And then you come to,
property.
You know, Mr. That's So-and-so's property. Property. Well, now you have to obtain easement mm-hmm. from that person over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's difficult in that respect.
Okay. I've been up there 40 years on Myrtle Avenue. And when I first moved in, somebody from the borough came up, he looks around and says, "What's this?" I says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "I was up here to mow it. All my neighbors mow everything except behind your place."
Yes. And I'm not just saying it's because it's not behind my place. It's just too wild. Even if I tried to take a weed whack,
3 foot higher, better.
I'd get stuck in there. And there's large animals living in there because the grass is all bedded down. I was just hoping maybe we can just cut that at this point.
Well, if we've been maintaining it for years, why can't we purchase it?
Well, I mean, you do it, but what you'd have to do in order to purchase it, you have to know who owns it. So you'd have to pay a title company to do a search all the way back to figure out who owns it, and then they could figure out, you know, that no one's laid claim to it over 60 years. And there'd be a legal process by which you could take possession of it, but it's not as simple as just saying, "Hey, I'll give you $5,000 to purchase the property."
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Are you done? Anything else?
No, just hopefully that can get cut. Thank you.
We could. I bet you it was pretty cool at night though with fireflies on them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's
just get our own goat.
There and look at it at night.
You're a free man.
Just.
Thank
you.
Fire department.
I wanted to give props to Matt and whoever else helped open the pool on time. In lieu of poor Gary's medical situation, and wanted to send some good thoughts out to Gary too and his family. We're thinking about him a lot. And I just wanted to say that the Green Fest was great this year again. And Senior Day is the next one, right? Mm-hmm. This Saturday. So 10% off for seniors.
Yeah, and cherry yoga and all that good stuff. And yeah, that's really it.
All right, thank you. Deputy Mayor.
I'm cold.
You're cold?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I just wanted to know about the 2019 thing, not the resolution that we passed. You just gave me the answer on that. The resolution that you passed, we didn't sign. The one that's crossed the
line. We sent it.
The guy has to
sign. Copy on it.
Oh, okay, because it's ridiculous over there.
It is.
It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's really horrible. And I just want to say we still meet, the seniors still meet on the last Friday. It's cold in here. Once a month.
You done?
That's it, yes.
Okay, thank you. Great. I would like to say, John Music, welcome to the Washington Borough Council. Look forward to working with you. We do this at the end of every meeting. Do you have anything that you want to put out? Nope. Okay. Well, welcome aboard.
Listen and learn.
Okay. I do have a couple things of interest. Matt went down to met with DEP today to talk about the South Lincoln project. Through the course of the conversation, from what I gathered from him, and I'm going to speak to you, is that they're going to raise our limit back up to 1.5 million gallons per day because it was, I guess, an oversight.
Okay.
An oversight as to the reason why our permit was dropped.
Our permitted flow for our sewer plants. The plant was designed and originally permitted at 1.5 million gallons per day. The permit's renewed every 5 years. And for 20 years, 1.5 is our limit. And then we got a permit renewal in 2018, which was 1.15 million gallons per day. And no one could really explain to us why. And so it turned out that may have been a mistake on their part.
I'd say both.
That's a discrepancy of about 358,000 gallons per day of sewage. That's a lot. So it's important. We looked into this and got it corrected.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Matt, for that. Josephine and I took part in the Karen Nash Memorial. It was actually the Karen and Quinlan.
Hospice.
Yes, and bereavement center that released butterflies over at the Butterfly Garden on whatever day in June that was. 8th, I believe.
Yes.
Let's see here. Just so everybody is aware, the Highlands came through and we received a $12,000 grant from them. As they said they would. Should have done this a long time ago. Grand Avenue bid is currently out.
Good job.
And comes back in is due when, Matt?
A week from tomorrow.
Okay, so then at our next meeting we could pretty much award a contract then, right?
Yep. Yeah, we've had, I believe, four different firms pick up specs.
Okay, that's a good thing for us. Let's see here. John the Highlands Grant. We have an opening at the library board that Miss Michelle Norris has graciously said that she wished to fill. So with the council approval, I will appoint Michelle Norris to the library board.
Do we have to make a motion to approve?
No, do we need a motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve Michelle Norris to the library board.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah.
No, he's going to abstain.
He does have to abstain.
He
does
not. Are you related to her?
We're Tom.
I don't even know who she is.
Can we do it all in favor?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
I abstain.
Too. You abstain too? Okay.
Yes.
So Mrs. Norse will be taking part of that. All right. Just so everybody is aware that we purchased a new fire truck. The fire truck is actually in New Jersey. It should be delivered
Thursday.
Actually, it's going to be delivered Thursday.
Nice.
So they drove it up from Florida. Pardon me?
I'm gonna go get you.
Yes. From where, Florida?
South Plainfield.
I don't think it's in South Plainfield.
That's where Pierce is. It's a Pierce truck, right?
Yeah, I think it's in South Jersey. There's a Pierce place in South Jersey too, and West Deptford or somewhere around there. Okay, so I don't think I have anything else. We need to go into executive session. Lori, do you have anything that you need to put? Oh, yes, there is one other thing. I'm sorry. Everybody did their financial statements, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's one thing. Second thing is convention time is approaching. So we have to decide who is going to go. I mean, last year we said $500 for two people, the manager and the clerk.
What's the date? What's the date again?
Mid-November.
November 12th, 13th, and 14th.
I can't do that.
I can't do that either. I can go this year.
No, November 19th, 2021.
Okay.
I can do that.
November what?
19, 20, and 21. Remember, it's two people.
Two council there.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So decide that, please, because they are taking room reservations.
I want to go. I mean, I'm going to go no matter what, but I would love to have some financial incentive, but I don't mind. I'll go no matter what.
Okay, you're going? Anybody else want to go?
Week before Thanksgiving, I can't.
I'm
going to
go with
that. You going to go?
Yeah.
Are you going?
I'd like to.
Okay. I think we should have a cornhole tournament to see who...
Cornhole. I love cornhole.
Okay. All
right.
Right.
You want to get your room.
Right. Okay, so...
And Ethel and I will... We're going to stay together, so...
Yeah.
I'm
oh, okay.
Go
so then we only need one room
that.
There, two adults, right? Okay, yeah. So we're good.
So, who's
Keith, Josephine, and Ethel. Ethel and Josephine are going to share a room.
Get a pull-out bed, we can just share a room.
Never mind.
Okay.
We didn't think that was bad.
I know you didn't know what I thought he said. No, he did not.
If you let us know.
I'll send you a
Okay.
Okay.
So, Lori, do you have anything else?
No, he did.
Okay. Counselor,
you know what?
I have nothing. Of course, anybody that goes down to the league, remember that our dinner is that Wednesday.
Okay.
That Wednesday.
Okay. We need an executive session.
Wait, and I'm also doing a seminar that everybody should go to.
At the week?
At the week. So
what is it entail?
The employment law update. So it's just the new laws that we have that are affecting municipalities. So.
Oh, you're talking about like the sick time?
That's one of them. Equal Pay Act.
Family.
$15 an hour?
No, not doing that. But marijuana, reasonable accommodations under the case law that's come down.
Okay, so there's only all right. So while we're talking about medical marijuana, there's only three distilleries in the whole state of New Jersey. And I received a phone call from a neighboring mayor yesterday that they were being approached about someone who wants to
have a marijuana dispensary or a recreational
distillery. You said distillery.
Yes, that's what they're called. Distilleries, not a
dispensary.
Dispensary. They're called distilleries.
Wait, for what? For alcohol, you mean?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
No. Okay, so the medical marijuana...
Right.
What we say dispensary...
Right.
...are actually called distilleries. Because of the combination. Because of... All right, so listen.
If it's
I learned a lot about...
You mean if it's recreational?
No.
No?
If it is medicinal... It's called the distillery because if you get a prescription and you take it for this, they custom blend your...
Of what?
So wait, so somebody around here wants to have one of those? Is that what you're telling us?
Okay. I don't know if it is a medical marijuana distillery or if it is a recreational type of thing.
Not really.
It hasn't been passed yet. I understand that, but they're making their contacts.
Around here?
Yes.
Hmm.
So, again, we've talked about, you know, if you don't sell it with, under the governor's plan, if you don't sell it in your municipality, you cannot, you can actually opt out of selling it in your municipality, and you don't. You questioned me?
No, I'm sorry I questioned you.
You questioned me? Listen, I've done a lot of research on medicinal marijuana, and publicly I can say that I support medicinal marijuana. Recreational, I can say publicly that I do not support. So, but, you know, they were approached, and he's not sure if it was recreational or if it was the distillery. Is that, you know, but they're being approached at one of their meetings. Somebody's throwing a plant. And he just wanted to know what would happen if they started out medically, could they then sell recreationally?
I think it is totally different.
But anyway, you should check the medicinal marijuana distilleries, and you'll learn a lot.
Okay.
Which I've done. Anyway, is there anything else?
Nothing else.
On what contract? And there actually is one quick thing just about the pool. So just so everybody knows, kind of in the interim, Brooks Schott, who those of you know, Brooks retired from our police department, was actually came brought back. He serves as a school resource officer. So he's finishing out as a school resource officer. His last day of the year is tomorrow, but he's managing the pool. He managed the pool last year.
Oh, okay.
He and I are basically managing the pool right now. You know, we're kind of forming things as we go. We're looking to bring the pool through this season and then evaluate kind of where we're at and where things are going to go in the future.
Okay.
But, you know, in the meantime, it's open.
Open.
No
for a swim.
Everything's working pretty well.
Good.
And, you know, we've got enough staff, and, you know, we've seen better life.
Okay, is that clear? I'm going to make a motion for
So move.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
For the purposes of contracts. Contracts. And it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes. And potentially you take it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Too bad. You'd have to pay five.
You're like crying.
Yeah. I'll entertain a motion to come out of the executive session. Okay. Motion and a
second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. I will entertain a motion to
extend our manager's agreement to January 31st, 2025.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Connie?
Yes.
Bishamon?
Yes.
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 Norris?
Yes.
Valley?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes. Come on. Yes. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Good night.
This has been the long-